Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the SGS Enterprises Limited earnings call hosted by PhillipCapital (India) Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Hiranandani from PhillipCapital (India) Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning to everyone. On behalf of PhillipCapital Limited, I welcome you all to Q4 FY25 conference call of SGS Enterprises Limited. We are pleased to host the senior management of the company. Today, we have with us Mr. Joseph, Promoter and Managing Director, Mr. Sanjay Thapar, Group CEO and Executive Director, Mr. Mahendra Naredi, Group CFO, and Ms. Devanshi, Head of Investor Relations from SGS. Before I hand over the call to the management, I would like to congratulate the team for a continued strong set of performance. Now, I hand over the call to Devanshi. Over to you.
Thank you, Amit. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for being with us over the call today. We appreciate it. Moving on, this is how we intend to take today's conference call forward. I will pass on the dais to Mr. K.A. Joseph, our MD, who will make his opening remarks, and then hand it over to Mr. Sanjay Thapar, our Group CEO and Executive Director, who will take you all through some of the slides of our presentation that has been uploaded on the stock exchanges as well as on our website. Mr. Sanjay will take you all through the industry view, our business performance, and then give a strategic outlook for the future growth of the company at the end. And Mr. Mahendra Naredi, our Group CFO, will update you all on our financial highlights, post which we will open it up for Q&A. The duration of this call is around 60 minutes, and we will try to wrap up our comments in about 20 minutes so that we leave enough time for you all to ask questions. If the time is not enough, please feel free to reach out to us through email or write to us, and I will try and answer all the questions to the best of my ability. Thank you once again, and I will now hand it over to Mr. Joseph to make his opening comment. Over to you, Joseph.
Yeah. Thank you, Devanshi, for the introduction. Hello, and good morning, everyone. I trust you all had a chance to look at our investor presentation and the results published yesterday. Before we start, I would like to inform you all that the Exotic Plastics Private Limited has now been renamed as SGS Decoplast Private Limited. India's automotive sector sustained its upward trajectory in FY2025, reaffirming its role as a key pillar of economic growth. The industry contributed 7.1% to India's GDP and is now the fourth-largest global vehicle producer, supported by strong consumer demand, infrastructure advancements, and progressive government policies. In line with this momentum, SGS continued to set new benchmarks, delivering its 22nd consecutive quarter of outperformance with a notable YoY growth of 9% in the automotive segment, exceeding by over 1.5x the industry's production volume growth of 5.7% YoY. SGS surpassed the 2,000 million rupee milestone in quarterly revenue for the first time. Consolidated Q4 revenue stood at 2,005.1 million rupees and maintained strong profitability despite market challenges. Top-line performance was driven by strong growth in the passenger vehicle segment, and prudent financial management and operational excellence assured robust cash flow generation and a strong net cash position at year-end. Aligned with our vision for growth, capacity expansion initiatives are progressing well with SGS Decoplast facility at Pune on track for commissioning in H1 of FY26. This milestone will enhance manufacturing capabilities and meet growing demand for premium chrome-plated and painted products. With sustained financial strength, SGS remains committed to driving long-term shareholder value. The company's strong cash flow supports strategic expansion, including CapEx investments in the cover glass and chrome plating business. Our strong balance sheet and cash flows have enabled us to reward our shareholders for their unwavering support. And I am happy to inform that SJS has declared a final dividend of 25% of the face value. Moving ahead, we remain committed to innovation and leveraging our advanced in-house design and R&D capabilities to develop cutting-edge solutions for our customers. With that said, I would now like to hand over to the call to Sanjay to take it through some of the business and industry highlights for the quarter. Thank you, and over to you, Sanjay.
Thank you, Joe. Hello and good morning, everyone. We are pleased to announce yet another quarter of strong performance across operational and financial parameters for the company. The strategic initiatives we implemented at the start of the fiscal year have delivered impactful results and will continue to build momentum in the coming quarters. Coming to some key updates, in Q4 FY25, the quarter was marked by yet another better than industry performance by SJS, with a consolidated revenue growth of 7.3% year-on-year to 2,005.1 million rupees. This growth was led by a strong performance in the passenger vehicle segment. SJS automotive business, both two-wheeler, four-wheeler combined, grew 9% year-on-year compared to 5.7% year-on-year growth in the industry production volumes. The company delivered a robust margin performance as consolidated EBITDA grew 6.6% YOY to 528 million with an EBITDA margins at 26.1%. PAT grew 24.1% year-on-year to rupees 337.3 million with margins at 16.8%. I am extremely happy to share that we have had a breakthrough with Hero MotoCorp business, and in the end of in April 25, we've been awarded businesses across multiple models that should significantly add to our trajectory of growth. This win positions SJS as a trusted supplier to now all leading two-wheeler OEMs and reinforces our market leadership. Growing export business remains a strategic priority for SJS, with an impressive 17.6% year-on-year growth in FY25 due to the robust growth in our overseas passenger vehicle business. Successful new business awards in export markets have opened large global opportunities for SJS. Due to significant new business opportunities, we plan to invest an additional capex of around 40 to 45 crores during FY26 to increase production capacity at our SJS plant in Bangalore. Now, much as we are focused on our business, we are equally committed to embedding ESG principles into every aspect of our operations. Our efforts have yielded significant progress with CRISIL upgrading SJS ESG score. One of our key initiatives in FY25 for ESG includes a partnership with Amplus to secure a 4.65 megawatt of solar power for SJS Decoplast and Waterpack India. With this, around 60% of our overall energy needs across all our plants will come from renewable sources. ESG for us is not just a moral responsibility, but a commitment that will create value for stakeholders and ensure sustainable growth. A dedicated ESG committee oversees our alignment with these goals. At SJS, our commitment to community well-being drives meaningful change through targeted initiatives. This year, we enhanced education infrastructure and facilities for about 775 children by renovating the Karnataka public schools at Kagalipura and Saluhunase and distributed school supplies across 5 schools. Prioritizing health, we conducted medical checkups for more than 500 villagers in Pune. This is in addition to our ongoing efforts in education, sanitation, sports, and vocational training to empower underprivileged women and other communities. In March 2005, we received 3 ACMA awards for excellence in manufacturing, excellence in new product development, and also excellence in ESG. I would now like to hand over the call to Mahendra, our CFO, to update you on all SJS financial performance parameters before I talk about a future growth outlook. Over to you, Mahendra.
Thank you, Mr. Thapar. Good morning, everyone.
Let us delve into the financial snapshot. Slide 13 to 16 provide a concise overview focusing on the consolidated picture of SGS. In quarter 4, our consolidated revenue reached rupees 2,005.1 million, showcasing growth of 7.3% YOY. This performance is attributed primarily on the back of strong business growth in passenger vehicle. Moving to EBITDA, we achieved rupees 528 million, representing a YOY growth of 6.6% with a robust margin of 26.1%. Our consolidated PAT for the quarter stood at rupees 337.3 million, demonstrating a YOY growth of 24.1% with PAT margin standing at 16.8%, primarily due to lower finance costs and the lower tax expenses. On full year basis, SGS delivered 21.1% YOY growth in revenue to rupees 7,604.9 million on the back of strong performance in passenger vehicle and consumer segment. EBITDA grew 27.1% to rupees 2,032 million with a margin of 26.4% and margin expansions by 129 bps. PAT stood at rupees 1,188.3 million, witnessing a YOY growth of 39.2% and margin improved by 203 bps to 15.6%. The company had strong cash flow generation, which has positively impacted our consolidated ROCE, which stands at 25.7% and ROE at 17.2%. In FY25, we generated strong operational cash flows amounting to rupees 1,630 million with free cash flow reaching rupees 1,232.9 million. Additionally, cash and cash equivalent stood at rupees 1,150.1 million, positioning the company with a net cash balance of rupees 991.7 million. Strong free cash flow strengthen our ability to pursue future growth and strategic investments. As you are aware, with the addition of Voltapec India products in our portfolio, we have penetrated deeper with our new generation product that contribute around 28% of our consolidated revenue during FY25. WPI acquisition has effectively helped to us to balance our portfolio across two-wheeler, passenger vehicle and the consumer segment in the right manner. During FY25, exports grew 17.6% YOY to rupees 567.9 million, constituting 7.5% of our total revenue. Both SGS Deco Plast and Voltapec are primarily domestic business and hence export as a percentage of consolidated sales are at 7.3% in the quarter 4. Driven by strong financial performance, SGS is paving a path for sustained expansion, capitalizing on cash flow generation to drive strategic growth. Capacity expansion and strategic initiative reinforce the company industry leadership while demonstrating a steadfast commitment to the long-term value creation and sustainable growth. I would now like to hand back the call to Mr. Thapar to discuss about our future plans and growth outlook.
Thank you, Mahendra. Moving to our outlook for future growth, at SGS, we are extremely well positioned for sustained growth driven by strong financial performance and a clear vision for the future. Our cash flow generation supports our ongoing capacity expansion plans. These initiatives are designed to meet the growing needs of our business and deliver optimum returns, reinforcing a position in the market. With our current order book at around 85% of the forecasted FY26 revenues, we are well equipped to capitalize on these emerging opportunities. A key focus of our strategy is the expansion of our global footprint, with a target to increase our share of exports in our consolidated revenue to 14 to 15% by FY28. We are actively working towards this goal by expanding into new geographies, deepening our presence in existing markets and introducing new products tailored to the needs of global customers. This will not only broaden our growth prospects, but also enable us to diversify our customer base, paving the way for new cross-selling opportunities. Our commitment to innovation and advanced technologies remain at the core of our strategy. We continue to build capabilities to develop next-generation products that meet the evolving needs of various industries. Contribution from new generation products in FY21 was 13% of our total revenue, and now it has more than doubled to close to about 28% of our total revenue in FY25. This focus on product aesthetic and performance, coupled with our expanding product portfolio, ensures that we remain at the forefront of the market, delivering high quality and cutting-edge solutions to our customers. We continue to build relationships with mega customers and industry leaders like Hero MotoCorp and Stellantis, and premiumization remains a key pillar for our growth strategy. Entering the cover glass business opens up a new vertical for growth for the company by focusing on high-end value-added offerings. We target to outperform the underlying industry growth yet again by about 2 times this year, with a diversified customer base and a robust order book. SGS is well positioned to drive sustained growth and continue to create long-term value for our stakeholders. With that said, I come to the end of my quarterly updates. Thank you. We are now open to answer questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ganesh Ram from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question and congratulations on an excellent set of results. I have three questions. The first one is there any impact from the tariffs on our product portfolio and on our export side? Do we have any communications from Stellantis or Whirlpool regarding the same?
As I have answered earlier, so far we do not have any notification from any customer. And as I have said earlier, these tariffs, I think India is at the lower end of the tariff spectrum. So most of the competitors that we have are going to be equally, if not more, taxed in terms of these tariffs. So clarity from the President Trump still has to emerge, but overall, I think it is not going to have any negative impact for us because India is not worse off than so many other countries that export to the U.S. market.
Understood. Thank you. So nothing from Stellantis and Whirlpool regarding this. So they're okay?
Nothing for the moment.
Okay, understood, sir. And then the second question is just if you could give us some granularity on the order from Hero, right? I understand they would have probably had another supplier. So how exactly did we position our product? What products are we supplying to them? How did we displace the existing supplier? And any details around the quantity and duration and the expected ramp-up of this order, please?
So Hero has been the leader in the two-wheeler industry in India. It was on our radar for many years. We were knocking patiently on their doors. They had audited us in the past. They liked us. But for certain reasons unknown to us, we did not supply for so many years. This time around, Hero came to us in April last month and requested us to quickly ramp up for supplies. So we have been awarded businesses. We've got purchase orders. And we have started supplies to Hero. So this, as you can understand, opens up big doors for opportunity for us. So the products that we'll supply to them to start with are going to be decals and logos. But of course, as you know, at SGS we have multiple products, so there are ample opportunities for cross-selling as well.
Understood, sir. And any quantification of the opportunity that Hero has presented us with?
Look, we map the entire market, not only in India, but with all the customers. So Hero currently buys about 250 odd crores of decals and logos. So we hope to win a significant share of that business. In addition, we'll pursue some cross-selling opportunities as this, we ramp up supplies to Hero. So the outlook is very promising.
Understood, sir. And my last question is just if you could give us an update on where we are at with capacity utilization across the plants and for the new CapEx that's being putting up, one for the cover glass and the other one, if I'm not wrong, at Exotech. What's the revenue visibility we have for the new CapEx?
So, Mahinder, maybe you could answer this.
Ganesh, regarding the capacity utilization, in SGS, we are close to around 70%. In the Deco Plus, which was earlier Exotech, we have the our plant which is running 95% kind of a capacity. We are working with outsource model at this moment, and that is why we are expanding our capacity. We allocated 100 crore rupees for the expansion, and this expansion are into progress at this moment, and we are hopeful that in H1 it will get completed. Waterpack, somewhere 75% kind of utilization we are currently doing it. Your question was regarding the turnover out of the Exotech. So when we make a plan to set up the Exotech expansion, we thought that we will able to achieve the double the turnover what we currently achieve in FY24. So close to 320 crore rupees kind of a turnover we can able to generate with the new expansion.
Understood, sir. And on cover glass, do we have any visibility in terms of customers on the new CapEx and how it would ramp up?
On the cover glass, we have allocated the CapEx for 40 crore rupees, which is going to be happen during this year and the next year. Regarding the order, I will request Mr. Thapar to give the colors.
Yeah, so as you are aware, cover glass is a subset of a larger product called a display, the center stack display in cars. So at the moment, there is only one company, Visteon, which assembles cover glasses. The rest of the displays are imported. And in the Visteon cover glass, we have a relationship with Visteon for many, many years. So the first target for us is Visteon. They are currently importing the cover glass, but as you can imagine, this is a new category of component for Visteon global teams to source out of India. So there are multiple checks and tests that they do, but essentially we will target Visteon for the first businesses, but then once we localize, I am sure all as and when assemblies of displays in India grows, so SGS will be at the forefront to be a leading supplier of cover glass, not just to Visteon, but other assemblers as well. So that's a long runway to growth. Because displays as a category is a sunrise area in India. And it will be an import substitution effort, which of course you can all understand is supported by the government.
Right. So my understanding from what you're saying is that, I know I completely understand on the product side. I mean just on the specifics with Visteon, is that we're expecting to get orders from them, but nothing is still firm at the moment, but we're well placed.
Yeah, there are development that's happened. We have given samples, they are evaluating all that. So it's a process that continues, but we are on track.
Okay, sir. Okay, that's it from me. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Next question is from the line of Basant Patel from TCG Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on the very good set of numbers. Sir, just wanted to clarify, how do you see the passenger vehicle growth actually? All the OEMs are a bit skeptical on the volume growth this year. So how do you see which will not affect our revenues, especially on the passenger vehicle contribution?
You guys are of course more tuned onto the industry data. Largely, let me summarize, it depends on customer to customer, but overall we expect the two-wheeler growth this year to be in high single digits and the passenger vehicle growth to be mid single digits. So that having been said, a key theme that we drive at SES is premiumization. So what is very interesting to know is that within this mid-teen or high-teen number, the premium products outsell the plain vanilla products. So at SGS, we target at premium products because those are beneficial for the OEM in terms of margins. They earn more margins there. And at SGS also we earn, our business is primarily addressed to that segment. So I think we are fairly well poised. Industry is something that is cyclical. It goes up and down depending on the economic sentiment in the country, the monsoons, blah, blah. But overall, I think we, that's what I just said earlier in my remarks earlier. We expect 2x growth vis-a-vis industry volumes for the current year as well.
Sir, and you on the while talking, you commented we would be expecting to launch a couple of new products. So can you throw some elaboration on these? What would be the new products we would be getting into?
So I'd like to distinguish between new technology and new products. So at SGS, we have a very strong development capability and new products are launched every month. So in terms of new technologies, what was said earlier, cover glass in the domain of displays, IML, IMD products, so those technologies we've already started supplying, so they are not new, but a product for a new application is new. So that is the overall context to it.
Okay. So just one last question, sir. So as we are close to now, net cash of almost close to 99 crores, say 100 crores. So would be, is there any some thought of going acquisition to grow aggressively? Any thought from the management in that?
So what we envisage is that we generate a lot of free cash. So close to about 80% of EBITDA gets converted to cash flow from operations. And at the end of FY26, we see ourselves still, despite these capexes that we are doing, still to have a good financial position. So at that point, so at the end of this year, we are of course on an ongoing basis looking at opportunities to acquire companies. There is some, we are waiting for the dust to settle around tariff investments announced by the US. So as I mentioned earlier, US is a big market. In our radar for a while now. So by next year is when we think that we will actively work on an acquisition. At the moment we are collecting gunpowder.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Suraj Malu from Catamaran. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for taking my question. My question is around the 2x volume growth guidance which you've given. Given that the kit value as per your presentation is going, because legacy value was 1200 to 1500 and it's going to 4 to 6x of that. So why is that growth only 2x the volume? Because you're also selling to premium vehicles, which are also faster than the industry volume. So given all these growth levers, why is still the growth only 2x industry volume?
So while we are doing work at our end and we are ready with these products, ultimately when a customer launches these products and vehicles, it is in a phased manner. So as I said in my previous calls, so OEMs want to introduce the most premium models with some high-end features. And then they want to distinguish between model to model. So they want a menu card of options of a little less features in the mid segment. And the lowest segment is has bare bone structure or just a minimal aesthetic or high value aesthetic parts. So that is a trend that is existing in the industry for a long, long time. And as I said, our forecast of growth, especially performance for this year, depends on when those models come into serious production. So while we are winning businesses, very strong business acquisition, very good interest in customers to acquire these, they happen step by step. And as I said, in the high-end models first, and then they percolate down the portfolio of the OEM. So our best guess at this moment is that given the order intake that we have and given the new model launch schedules from our customers, we expect growth to be 2x of the industry growth. Potentially it can be much more if OEMs introduce high-end models earlier. theoretically you're right. Our kit value has expanded very significantly. So I think we will come to a day where all those efforts will bear fruit.
Got it. So if I may ask one more question, what would be the market size of, like, or the addressable market for the IML, IMD business in India, which we did, let's say, 166 crores roughly in FY25?
So IML, IMD is relatively new to the Indian market. So there are customers, or loyal customers like Tata Motors, which have introduced a new generation of products and they start using it. So I would not, I mean, it's still a developing market, so it would be unfair on my part to say what would be the content, but let me give you an idea. We supply products varying from 500 rupees a vehicle to close to about 5,000 rupees a vehicle, depending on what is the specification of the vehicle finalized by the OEM. So theoretically, all vehicles could have something. If I take a mean value of about, let's say, 1,500 odd rupees or for a vehicle, so multiply by that by 4 million vehicles, and you can do your math. But this is a simplistic back of the envelope calculation. The right way to go about it is to, for the OEM, as I said, they distinguish between models, so they don't introduce this technology or will not introduce this technology immediately across models. But I would imagine that over the next 2-3 years, this will percolate down to the mid segment and even the entry level vehicles. So the potential is huge, and that's the reason why we invested in Waterpack.
Understood. Thank you, sir. That's all for me.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Hitesh Goyal from Riddhish Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks, sir, for taking my question. Sir, my question is on this export business, right? On Stellantis, you won 3 programs, you said, in the con call. So can you tell us, how are these programs ramping up this year? All 3 are, at what timelines are they ramping up?
So we've answered this question earlier. So it's close to about a 300 crore business over the next 7 to 8 years. And supplies for the first models will start from Q2 of this year, and they gradually ramp up. So I would imagine it will be a year before full volume start coming in. So that's the answer to your question.
So basically, by FY27, we'll see the 30-40 crores kind of run rate, which we're talking about on annual basis.
That is fair. That's a fair assumption.
And on Whirlpool also, can you give us the same timeline? Whirlpool, you talk about 50 crores order, which is coming in 5 years, right? So that is also wrapping up next year or starting?
No, that should again start from this year. So we will start supplies again by about Q2. And we'll start this year and continue over the next 4-5 years.
Okay. And sir, on basically when I see Waterpack revenue growth this quarter, it's only 7%, right? Because, I mean, your biggest customer, Tata Motors, did not grow much. But, you've also won significant orders on M&M and Maruti in Waterpack, right? So has the M&M BEV orders, come through in this quarter? Because you would have supplied beforehand for the launch, or that will ramp up in the next quarter?
No. So we have started supplies to the Mahindra Born Electric range of vehicles. So that is true. But again, coming back to the overall numbers for Waterpack, I've said this in my call earlier and I would repeat it here. Think of SCS as an integrated company with multiple technologies at multiple plants. So we take strategic decisions, what product to offer to which customer. So I would encourage you to look at us as a whole rather than some of the parts. So don't look at individual performances, because there are a lot of activity that we do to generate operational leverage at multiple plants. So there are some processes done at one plant, billing could be done from some other plant. So that's a business decision that we take. So again, my request is to look at us holistically rather than look at individual businesses.
Okay, sir. And my final question on Hero, sir, you said that they take around 250 crores as their bill of materials and decals and logos. So are you supplying to every model on a Hero now, or it will be in the phased manner?
This is confidential information, but many models, so you can guess.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Abhishek Kumar Jain from Alpha Accurate. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congrats for adding Hero MotoCorp in your client list. But in a standalone margin, in this quarter we have seen a correction 200 dips on a quarter-on-quarter basis, and the employee expenses have gone up. So is there any one-offs in the employee expenses, and how would be the margin structure in the external business?
Yeah,
Abhishek, the margins has gone up. You are comparing quarter-on-quarter basis. We have all operational efficiency that driven the increase into margins. Into the employee expenses, largely you are seeing the we have issued new ESOP grant, and that impacted around 3.5 crore for the quarter. So that was, you are seeing a higher amount into the employee expenses.
So from next quarter, it will be normalized.
Yeah, it is a normal expenditure, but yes, this quarter would be a higher number. In the next year or next quarter, you will see a lower number.
Okay. And the next question on the Exo test business, which has seen a strong growth of around...
Your voice is not very clear. Maybe you need to be a little bit away from the mic. Your voice is echoing.
Are you able to hear me?
Yeah, better.
So in Exotech business, we have seen a growth of 27% Y&Y. So what is the reason? And we are expecting to generate around 320 crores from the Exotech. Will it be achieved by FY27?
So our target, as I said earlier, so one reason is, why are we growing? So we are growing because we work very hard here. So we approach all customers, and that's why business grows for us. Their customers are happy with us. So that's the underlying reason for growth. The second reason is, when will we reach this target? So we are building capacity. Typically, our investment thesis is that we should, for all the new investments that we do, our ROCE should be upwards of 20%. So we are very mindful of that in terms of balancing what are the forecasts for growth for a business vis-a-vis the investment that we do. So typically, we've, let's say, increased sales by close to about 2.5x over the last 3 years in SGS Ecoplast. And moving forward, we again hope to double sales in the next 3 years.
Okay. And my last question on the amortization side, that every quarter there is a 20 million impact on the PAT level because of the intangible asset on the WPI. So will it go down from FY26 onwards, or it will have a positive impact on FY27 only?
Abhishek, this amortization on the intangible, yes, it is going on. It will get reduced after the period of 3 years. So what you said is right.
So we can get the benefit in FY27. It will start to go down in FY27 or FY20?
Yeah, FY27 is the last year. It will continue for a period of 10 years, but there are some amount will go down in FY28.
Okay, sir. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pradyumna Chaudhary from JM Financials. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. My first question is, in Q4, if you look at consumer segment, that seems to have been weak compared to our overall growth. So is it in line with the industry, or is there any specific headwinds you are witnessing, especially given that in recent times you've added a few big customers on this side? So could you give some data and have the supplies to these customers started already?
So I would say that quarter by quarter, there are quarters where demand is a little soft. But overall, if you see, our consumer business grew strongly for the full year. If I compare FY24 to FY25, we've demonstrated strong growth. There are pockets where demand has been soft. For example, Europe, consumer demand has been a little soft. We hope this will come back. There are ongoing challenges in the European market. But overall, we are still quite bullish because, again, our focus really is to provide products to high volume segments, and consumer businesses still continue to be strong. We have, of course, Waterpak, which supplies to the consumer electricals space, and that is a space that's also growing. So we are overall, I'm fairly confident that there's a long-term growth story in consumer. There could be a quarter-to-quarter variation, of course, in terms of the demand from these customers. Nothing major has gone away, or it's just business as usual. We continue to knock on the doors of large customers in Latin America, in North America as well, and we've had some notable wins. So we hope to continue that momentum.
Understood. And my second question is, any particular reason why, like you spoke about how Hero, we've been knocking on the doors since a long while, and they'd actually been in an exclusive contract with their traditional supplier for supply of these parts until now. So are you aware of any particular reason why Hero has decided to give business outside their traditional supplier? And did I hear it right previously that Hero's bill of materials for decals and logo is around 250 crores? That's my second question.
Yeah, so I would not like to comment on competition. They may be having their own challenges. I don't wish to comment on that. So it's a decision by Hero. They have realigned their supply chain, and they recognize that we are a dominant player in the industry supplying to everybody. So yes, we've been knocking on their doors and we've been successful. So I think there are virtues of being patient and being focused on what you continue to do. So we market our capabilities rather than worry about competition. So that has been validated by Hero. And yes, you heard right. So approximately they're buying for decals and logos is around 250 crores. That's my best guess. And so that's the answer to your question.
All right. And last question is, so in terms of two-wheelers, we are largely matching the industry growth, right? And even within two-wheelers, if one looks at the data, 125cc and above segments seem to be growing faster. And despite that, we are not really outperforming the industry growth. So would it be right to say that within two-wheelers, the premium bikes do not really have that big of a delta in terms of kit value, like
no,
what we see in case
no,
of cars?
No, you can't generalize. So there are some premium bikes where our content is as high as about 1,000 rupees per bike. So that is not universally true. So you can't draw that conclusion. It depends on the market positioning that specific OEMs have. So you have competitor to Harley-Davidson, Bajaj has some high CC bikes, TVS has high CC bikes, and of course Royal Enfield exists there in that space. So they have quite a large content on those. Overall, their volumes may be lower than the lower CC segment, but high value segment ticket size is large per bike. Now, coming back specifically to your questions that where are we, what was the second question? Sorry, could you repeat? What was so the content-wise, it is not a generalization that you can make.
Okay. Understood. Thank you. I'll rejoin the queue.
Yeah.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Himanshu Singh from Baroda BNP Paribas Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. So again, coming back to the two-wheeler industry, two-wheeler segment of ours, so do we like supply to the scooter segment as well?
Yes, we do. We supply to conventional IC scooters as well as the EV scooters. But the major amount of decals are used by the motorcycle segment. So the earlier caller also had wanted to know our performance. So I've been maintaining all along that two-wheelers, our growth will be organic. Now, of course, with this Hero business, we have an opportunity to outperform the market in that segment because there will be a new customer and a very large customer that we are adding. But essentially, we do supply to two-wheelers, though decal content in four-wheelers is higher. So we are more aligned to motorcycles, my mistake. So motorcycles is the large market that we address. So benchmarking our growth, blended two-wheeler, four-wheeler, we said that we will grow at the industry rate of growth.
Okay, sure. And sir, coming to the export side, we want to double it in the next 2 years, right? By FY26.
I'm not saying we'll double it. So what I've guided is 14% to 15% of our sales in FY28 will come from exports. So that is the statement I made.
Yeah, so double in terms of the mix which we are doing currently, right? So around 7%. Is the realization much higher on the export side, and also on the profitability, if you can just comment a bit?
Yes, export business is more profitable. As I said, the competition landscape there is with foreign companies, and I've mentioned earlier, you know, we have some skill sets at SJS. We are doing printing for the last close to 35-40 years, so we are more efficient. It is a labor-intensive product, apart from a very complicated product line, because you have to have a batch mode of manufacturing processes. We handle a large amount of SKUs. So these overseas customers are, what we've observed over the years, is that they don't have that skill set to manage that complex product mix. So yes, we are at an advantage globally, and we hope to grow that business. So all printed related businesses, which are fairly manpower intensive in terms of inspection and in terms of the manufacturing process, India has an advantage vis-a-vis export foreign competitors. And yes, my margins are better because I have to compete with those, and their margin profiles, because of manufacturing costs, tends to be lower than ours. Manufacturing costs tends to be higher than ours. My mistake.
Okay. Sure, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Romil Jain from Electrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Question on you know, how much
Romil, your voice is not audible. You are not audible. Hello.
Your voice is cracking up. We can't hear you.
Operator, can we move to the next question, and probably you can join in Romil again and in queue. Once he joins back, probably we can't hear him.
Okay, ma'am. We take the next question from the line of Smit Shah from Monarch Network Capital Limited. Please go ahead.
Sir, congratulations on a good set of numbers. My question is on the CAPEX front. What is the CAPEX guidance for this year and the next year? Along with that, if you can just mention how much of the cover glass CAPEX amount has been spent, and when are we expecting the 40 to 50 crore CAPEX in the standalone business to get over, completed?
Okay. Ismith, regarding CAPEX, in the previous also we explained that the CAPEX largely CAPEX allocated for the Exotech, which is now SJ DecoPlast, we allocated 100 crore rupees kind of a fund. Around 30 crore we have incurred out of that. Remaining 70 crore will going to happen during this financial year. Apart from that, glass business, so far we have taken on a lease a building and there was some modifications currently going on. We allocated 40 crore rupees for this expansion. We incurred very nominal amount so far. But yes, this 40 crore will going to happen between during this year and the next year. Third is, we just now have announced about this new capex into the SJS for creating the more capacity. So we have allocated around 40 to 45 crore rupees. That is going to happen during the FY26. This is all the special capex. Apart from that, we have the maintenance capex, which closely 15 to 20 crore rupees per annum we are going to do it. So that is kind of a capex we are thinking, we are planning. If I say in a number point of view, 150 odd crore rupees for FY26, and if I talk about for the 3-year scenario, close to 220 crore rupees capex allocations we are going to do.
Okay. Okay, and the cover glass capex, we were earlier planning the commissioning by this year end, FY26 end. By when are you expecting that to happen?
So like I said, we have already taken a building on lease. These modifications is already going on. But yes, we are into the plan. We are on the track. We will commissioning by end of this year.
No, so the question was, okay, just to get that question, so, you know, the cover glass is a part of a display. So we are at this moment looking at opportunities, not just for the cover glass, but also the possibility of does it make sense for us to play a larger role in the display market. So this facility, of course, is common, whether it is a display completely or it is cover glass. So cover glass is a part of a display. So we are actually reworking our plans to decide the optimal mix of equipment that we need as these opportunities unfold. So as Mahinder said, we've taken a shed close to about 97,000 square feet. So instead of investing in a building on our own, we said let's conserve cash and basically use this for productive purposes in terms of equipment. So this is what is the current plan. Our negotiations with customers are ongoing, and so we will tweak our investment plan based on this. And coming to your question, when do we start supplies out of this plant would depend on how this is. So there are some very promising discussions that we have. But at the moment, we don't want to, we want to address what the market really needs. So we are at that phase in our display or cover glass business.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for answering.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of We take the next question from the line of Shrinjana Mittal from Ratnatraya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of bookkeeping questions. So in this year, there is some asset sale for sale in the other current assets, other non-current assets. What is that with respect to? Can you just give some color on that?
Yeah, so this is the old plant that we had. So when SES started, we had a plant which is about 5-6 kilometers from our current factory. So we built this modern state-of-the-art plant in 2018 and we relocated equipment there. We were holding that plant to see if we could put that to some productive use over the last so many years. But we've taken a decision that given the new business horizon that we have, it may be worthwhile to go in for a greenfield plant in a new location. So that is why, what you see in the books is the old factory that we have, which we are looking to dispose of.
Understood. That's very clear. Thank you. Just one more question on the ESOP plan. So in this year, then probably around 8 crores is the ESOP charge to the P&L, right? Firstly, is that correct? And so going forward, what are the expectations? What are the ESOP charge going to be?
Yeah, so you are right. For the entire year, around 8 crore rupees. And it would be remain for the future also.
Same. Okay. Got it. Thanks for taking the questions and all the best.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Lokesh Manik from Vallum Capital. Please go ahead. The participant has disconnected. We move to the next participant. The question is from the line of Pratik Giri from Shubh Labh Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. Mr. Naziri, I just wanted some more clarification on the capex of Exotec. I believe we are aspiring to start it, you know, within next 2-3 months, probably by July or August or September this year. But if you look at the financial progress of the capex, we are yet to utilize 70 crores. So if you can throw some more light whether the machines have been installed or have been ordered, we have been prepared, if you can help us understand.
Okay. So you rightly said we have allocated 100 crore rupees for this expansion. 30 crore rupees so far we have incurred, out of which close to 16-17 crore for the land and remaining is for the civil and the PEB constructions are going on. So there are a couple of advances has gone there. This erection process and the construction process was ongoing and we hopeful that somewhere July, August it will get set up. And during this period, this amount will get incurred. And the larger point was the machinery part. So machinery part, once the building are established, constructed, and simultaneously the machinery are under development at the vendor's place, and they will get installed. So you will see that by H1 we will be ready with all this setup, and the expenditure is going to happen during this current financial year.
Given that we are already manufacturing in one of the Exotec plants, so is it fair to assume that a ramp up of the new capacity will be faster, or should we assume that it will take some time before, you know, the commercial production starts in full swing?
No. So yeah, there will be trials that will happen. So there's a PPAP process or production part approval process that goes through. So we hope to start those trials by H1, as Mahinder just said. So, but this is a existing business. We know the plants are validated, the processes are the same. So it will be fairly quick ramp up. So we don't expect much challenges. Our business development team is already working on procuring new orders so that we can boost our sales from this new plant. So it will supplement our existing efforts. And we hope to see sales from that plant in the current year itself.
I'm sure it will start on time. My second question, Mr. Thapa, sorry I'm repeating this point earlier, participants have already, you know, asked this. But if I look at WPI growth, you know, the first quarter after acquisition probably
did it. Your voice is echoing a little bit, so could you maybe move away from the mic? We can't hear you so well.
Is it better now, Mr. Thapa?
Yes, much better.
Yeah, thank you. Mr. Thapa, I just wanted to understand on WPI, you know, the last 6-7 quarters if we see, the top line has been moving in the range of 40-45 crore. So how should we read into this? Because when the acquisition was made, the hope was high from this particular division. So should we assume that the cross-selling opportunity for WPI has now peaked and there will be volume-led growth only for the segment? If you can help us understand on that.
So two points to this question. IML, IMD technology is cutting-edge technology which is expensive. So it depends on the product mix of the customer where he wants this premium technology. We are betting that premiumization is a trend. The end consumer will want better than better products. So we are pitching to OEM customers, and there are takes, or there are customers where we are winning those orders. But as I said earlier, to the earlier question, this introduction or visibility of sales in the current year depends on the ramp-up schedule of the OEM. So we've started, for example, supplying IML parts to Mahindra electric range of vehicles, which is the first. Now, Mahindra will, of course, ramp up that production gradually, and we will benefit from that. The large part really is that it comes from when you have vehicles in the market, there's a comparison that happens in terms of better aesthetics that leads to buying behavior. And this is what encourages OEMs to introduce this technology because it is demanded by the end consumer. This is a better looking product, more appealing to the end consumer. So this is a process that will happen. I think it takes time, but in terms of technology, wherever we present this, people are very excited. These are high cost products, so in terms of introduction in models, it's the OEM decision to say that which model will carry what content of IML parts. But strategically, there's a very bright outlook for IML. In terms of cross-selling, as I said earlier, it again is a high-cost alternative. So there are the largest segment is the passenger vehicle segment. So we are supplying to Maruti Suzuki, we are supplying to Tata, we are supplying to Mahindra, we are supplying to some appliance companies also. And we are also wanting now to take this global. So we have some customers and we are making efforts towards that as well. So on the whole, I think it may take a little bit of time, but I think directionally we are bang on target.
Understood. So it's fair to conclude that time as far as the product acceptance and costing and fitment is concerned, but it will definitely grow from here also.
Absolutely.
Understood. Just last question from my side, Mr. Thapar. You know, we have been mentioning about mega accounts in our presentation for the last few quarters. I just wanted some numerical sense, you know, without taking the names of the account, it can help us understand. In the current top line of, you know, 750 crore, you know, what qualifies as a mega account and where it can reach from here? And how many potential accounts are there which can, you know, become mega accounts for us? I mean, some directional sense without naming the customer.
So, our definition of a mega account is that if the opportunity with that customer, maybe not the current sales, but if the opportunity for that customer across all markets in India and overseas markets is close to about 5% of our overall revenue, that qualifies as a mega account. So we make baby steps to enter one market, prove our credentials, the customer tests us, but our pedigree is very good because we supply to all the marquee names. So we inherently address customers where the potential is to be higher than 5% of our consolidated sales at any particular year. So Hero MotoCorp, for example, is a classic example of a mega account that we've added, and we will grow this. So that is the definition. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, very clear. Always pleasure talking to you, Mr. Thapar. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations, Eric.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Khush Nahar from Electrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question was, as a percentage of revenue, how much are we supplying to the EV models? And is the realization better in EV compared to the ICE vehicles? And there's some color on the export side. How do we see exports panning up considering the tariffs? So are we continuously adding new big customers? Or how is it playing out?
Okay, so two parts to your question. What is the percentage of sales to EVs? So essentially, EVs is a very, very small proportion at the moment for the in the overall scheme of things. So just about 3 to 5% of the market, and while we supply to many customers, it is a very, very small part of the current business. Hopefully it will grow. As I've said earlier, the display for EVs, the instrument cluster is changing shape and becoming a digital cluster. When the EV volumes ramp up, where if anybody's guess, by 2030 it could be anywhere between 25 to 40% of the overall two-wheeler production in India. So that time, I think by, I will take time for that to grow, but we are positioning ourselves in terms of product capabilities, both in terms of cover glass and in terms of displays, and are banking on the EV growth to drive sales. So those, as and when the market picks up, we will be ready. That is what I can assure you. But at the moment, it is small. The second part of the question was tariffs, which I think I've answered earlier. So we are in a very strong position globally, or if I were to moderate that statement a little bit, we are no worse than other countries which target export businesses. So famously, as you've heard, Chinese companies do a lot of exports to the US market, and they are much badly hit compared to India. So there are, of course, challenges that the OEMs have, and they are de-risking by looking at sourcing more and more content out of other countries, and India could be a beneficiary irrespective of what happens to the tariffs. So I am not unduly bothered about tariffs, because it is a relative position in terms of competitiveness. And India, and especially in the printing industry, I'm not talking of all the components across auto components, but printed parts, where we naturally have a natural advantage over the rest of the world, I think we should fare well.
And so just, realizations are better in terms of EV model products compared to ICE?
I don't comment on realization per product line, but overall you can see our numbers. We've been sustaining a good set of numbers in terms of our margins, and that margin has remained consistent even when we entered from the two-wheeler to the four-wheeler, or we enter other products. So our benchmark is that we should earn that sort of margin to allow us to invest in upgrading ourselves and getting into new technologies, and we'll continue to do that. So the margins are pretty stable across different product segments that we supply.
Right, sir. So just the last question on the standalone business. So I think since the past 2 quarters...
Sorry to interrupt, sir. May we request that you return to the queue, as there are several participants waiting for that turn.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Due to time constraints, we take the last question from the line of Rajesh Kothari from Alpha Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for this opportunity. Good afternoon, sir, and great news of Hero entering as your customer. I just have 2 questions. The first question is, while of course the tariff related, you have made some clarifications, but just trying to understand if the same product is, let's assume, gets manufactured in US, then of course the tariffs are not applicable. So do you see any, for example, Whirlpool Global is one of the largest player in US, who has a, I would say, 85% to 90% manufacturing inside US. So do you see any impact from the Whirlpool as your key customer? I'm just saying hypothetically, is there an incentive for them to do even this in US? That's question number one. And question number two is, in terms of, there are a lot of new opportunities at the same time which are coming up on the various component side. And considering your domain in a few segments, do you see any new opportunity, across your different verticals to cater to the global requirements?
Okay, so first part regarding Whirlpool and U.S. tariffs. So it is important to understand that even in the U.S. market, the supply chains are spread across Mexico and Canada. Okay, so it's not that U.S. manufacturers in U.S., because those costs are prohibitive. So we don't see any full-bred U.S. company operating completely out of U.S. So they are dependent on, they have some labor-intensive operations that happen across the border. But, we are targeting acquisition of a company in the U.S. So typically we see that their margins are far lower than us, and those companies are not able to sustain or be competitive. So I don't think the tariffs are going to change that. Manufacturing in U.S. is not going to come back anytime soon. So even if assume things go as per their president's plan, it could be still 4 or 5 years before U.S. gets into that sort of manufacturing. But printing is a very, very complicated process. So manufacturing may happen in other areas, but I don't think we have a threat from local US manufacturing at all. So I will go out on a limb and say that we don't think, or I don't think, in my humble opinion, that tariffs are going to negatively impact us in any manner. This is my view on the US market. Sorry, you had one more question, part of your question.
Yeah, that question was, you know,
new opportunities. So we drive new opportunities all the while. So we have close to about 70 people in our company working only on new product development, new technologies. So the cover glass business or the display business, now we are enlarging our ambition. So that could be one opportunity. And if we start doing it, why not do it for a larger set of customers across the world? So this is how our business has grown. So we start with one location, introduce a product there, prove our credentials, quality, cost, delivery, and then the customers take us global. So this is typically what has happened with Whirlpool, with Visteon globally, and even Continental for that matter. So we are we concentrate on doing whatever we do to the best of our ability, and then invariably it has happened that the customer takes us overseas rather than our targeting overseas markets.
Great. Thank you, sir. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Devanshi Dhruva for closing comments.
Thank you. I would like to thank everyone for joining on the call. I hope we have been able to respond to all your questions adequately. For any further information, we request you to please do get in touch with us. Stay safe, stay healthy, and thank you once again for joining with us. Have a good weekend.
On behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.